for the Jewish Historical Society of Delaware, Rona Finkelstein, on December 17, 2004.
What is your name?
Rona Finkelstein.
And but what was the name prior to marriage?
It was Rona Dorothy Glassman.
And you were born?
I was born in Rochester, New York in 1927 and lived there until after marriage when we moved away in 1964.
I see. All of your education was in Rochester.
Yes, except for our college. But I came back for graduate school at the University of Rochester.
Okay. Well, first let's start your parents. Your parents' names.
My parents were Sadie and Aaron Glassman, and they ran a typewriter store, and my mother and father were both in the business.
Were they immigrants?
My father was at about the age of 10, but I never knew that until I started getting interested in genealogy.
Okay.
I believe he may have told me that he was not, but it's very clear that he was.
Yeah. What was the country that from which he emigrated?
He came with his father and brothers from Ukraine, and I believe that they then lived in Yekaterinoslav, but the place they were born was Chernigov.
Okay, how do you spell that?
Chernigov?
Yeah.
C-H-E-R-N-I-G-O-V.
And is that in the Ukraine now?
Yes, that's a little northeast of Kiev.
Okay. So he came, and how did he get to Rochester?
Well, I really don't know, because excuse me, his father was a carpenter, and I really don't know. I know that Hyas, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, tried to direct people to places where they could find employment. And Rochester was a center of the clothing industry, but that doesn't explain why my grandfather went there. And I never inquired or found out about that, but it would be interesting to know.
And your mother's family, how did they get to Rochester?
Well, they were all tailors and or married to tailors, and so they were all directed to Rochester because it was a center of the men's clothing industry, and they all set up little shops in their home where they employed others, maybe up to 15 or 20 others.
So they did subcontracted
they
work?
They subcontracted to the larger companies.
Uh-huh.
Like Hickey Freeman and Bond and all various big companies.
And so you had one brother?
Yes, I had one brother who was 5.5 years older than I was. And my mother died when I was almost 14, and my father remarried in about a year, and my stepmother had two boys. One was the same age as my brother, and he had the same name as my brother, Stanley, which was very amusing, we thought. And the younger brother was 3 years younger than I was. His name was Melvin, and Stanley, by then, this was in the middle of the Second World War, so both older brothers were in the Army and away from home. So really, I had my adolescent years with my younger brother, Melvin.
And did you get along with your mother-in-law, your stepmother?
Yes, I did. I was determined to get along with her, and she certainly did a very fine job of getting along with me. I owe her a great deal, and I finally got to tell her that.
And how about, what kind of Jewish education?
Well, it was totally lacking. My parents, I think, being so busy with the business of the store, really neglected to bother about it. They themselves only went to the synagogue on the high holidays, and as a result, I got the feeling that it wasn't very important. I know my mother always lit Shabbos candles, but she never made a point of it, and I never knew when she was going to do it, or any of the, I didn't know there was a prayer said over it. I never saw her do it, actually. And so it wasn't at all instructive to me. I realized later how much I had missed not going to Sunday school for all those years. Maybe not from the school itself, because all the kids had not a very high opinion of the Sunday school, but simply being part of the Jewish, this offer of actually running that company was very appealing to him.
And how did you feel about leaving your home?
Well, I didn't resist. I mean, at first I wasn't excited about it, but I could see that he was tremendously excited about it, and we discussed it, and he said, you know, this is the natural progression, that people have to leave home and they can't always find jobs in the cities that their families live in. And he had already left his home to go to school and go to work, so to him it wasn't a big thing. And I remember my father being very sad about it. He didn't try to dissuade us, but he was sad. And I really didn't feel sad. I was
excited.
Well, I was apprehensive, but I guess I was struck by his sadness, and I began to realize there was more to being a parent.
Yeah. And so then you moved to Dover, Delaware.
To Dover, Delaware, and found a very nice and much bigger house than we had had. And
how old were your children?
Let's see, that was 64, so the older one, Jesse, was 10, just before 10, and the younger one was just before 7.
And so tell me about your life in Dover.
Well, it was very nice. Dover is a nice town, and we made friends with our neighbors, and we particularly liked our neighbors across the street. We became good friends with them and saw each other a lot, and met all the Jewish people in town very quickly, and a lot of non-Jewish people too, because in Dover they really intermingled more freely, I think because it was then a small town, and you just gravitated to the people that you liked, and it wasn't enough just to stay within your cultural tradition. And I felt it was a little bit constraining because of the size of it. There was, for instance, only one movie theater, and at that point, when we came in 1964, blacks had to sit up in the balcony, and that was new to me. But I must say, I just didn't think about it very much because I was so busy adapting to all the other things. But the one movie theater naturally would play family-friendly films, and we never got any of the art films or films that were interesting. And there really wasn't much else in the way of outside cultural life. And so there was a big business of people cooking and inviting friends in. And we used to joke that the conversation at these things were all about the food, because these people were very good cooks, and what the recipes were, and hunting, because frequently it involved cooking things that you hunted.
Had you ever been with hunters before?
No, and it struck us both very funny that hunting was such a big thing, and that at least one of our neighbors was involved in it, and he was Jewish, and it's just because Dover was a different area, and Jews and non-Jews were mingling so freely. And so they took on a lot of the attributes of non-Jews. But, the conversation wasn't stimulating to us, because those were two subjects that were not high on our list. Mm.
So that was, there was definitely a cultural
separation there.
And then you went to work.
Yes, well,
and what brought it about?
Well, I was immediately hired by Delaware State College when I went and told them I had a PhD. They practically leaped out of their seats, because at Delaware State College, it was a predominantly black college by far, and they did not have a high number of PhDs, and this was very appealing to them, I guess, to add to their faculty. And so I was added to the Department of Philosophy, which had only one other member, and he had been giving all the philosophy courses, and I was, I guess, put in over his head, which was a little uncomfortable for him. But we had courses divided between us, because philosophy was one of the courses that could satisfy a requirement, and so many students took it, many more than really should have taken it. But I guess they didn't find that out until they were in it, and
why do you say many took it, even though maybe they should not have taken it?
Well, I think they really didn't know what philosophy entailed, and the kind of reading and thinking that would be helpful to have, and they just weren't used to that level of reading and that kind of abstract thinking.